So glad that you're here this morning with us. If you're a teenager or adult, hopefully you got one of the sheets that they were giving out. If you didn't, I hope you can pick one up after if they still have some left out there. But, you know, from time to time I talk about counseling and different things, and I'll talk about the tree and what I use the tree in counseling room. And recently I was talking to someone. They said, we heard you say that, but we didn't know what you were talking about. So I wanted to put something in your hand so you could see what I was talking about. From time to time, as I start to counsel folks and I talk to them about their lives and about their walk with the Lord, I talk to them and I use this little format I call a tree, and it's just that little form there. And what I do a lot of times is I'll get to the board and I have a little fun with it. You know, I'll draw a little line and I'll say, now if I plant a seed down here, an apple seed, and it grows into this beautiful tree that I draw that looks like a four-leaf clover, and that's how Matt Cox wound up fixing this thing up for me, making it nice, because he got tired of me drawing that thing. And so I drew that four-leaf clove, and I said, now if this fruit comes out here and it's these beautiful oranges, what are you going to say to me? And they look at me and they say, well, Brother John, if you plant an apple seed, how did you get an orange out of that? You can't get an orange out of an apple seed. You see, the point being is this: I don't know what's in people's hearts. We don't know what's in people's hearts, but what we can see is the fruit of one's life. And in that sheet, as you see, and we have it up here, just a section of it, I go through and I say, now, let's look at Galatians 5:19 through 23, and we're going to look and see what is the fruit of your life. And I've been talking to them for a little bit, so what we do is we'll have the tree up, and then I'll have all these things listed on one side, which is the side of the flesh, which is also the self-focused life. And then I'll go through, and I'll say, as you see there, you know, is adultery in your life? If it has been, then I circle it. If not, I just scratch through it. Then I go to the next one, fornication. That's sex between two unmarried men, pornography, homosexuality, incest, prostitution. I go on to uncleanness, which is moral, physical defilement. I go to lewdness, which is indecency. I go through all these definitions. And as I'm talking to them, if this is the practice of their lives, then I circle it. And I go through all these different sins, as you see here. These first four are sexual sins. These next two are religious sins. Matter of fact, you know, as you look at sorcery, a lot of folks don't realize in the Greek that's pharmakeia, which we get pharmacy from. And it's, as you see there, under the influence of legal or illegal drugs, altering the mind and mood. Then we get into relationships, contention, jealousy, selfish ambition, dissension, heresy, envy, drunkenness, reveling, all these different things that have personal contact. And as we go through this, what's interesting is it's not me evaluating them, it's them evaluating their own lives. And as they come through and they circle these things, time after time, again, I have seen people that their lives, for the first time, they examine their lives and they're broken over their sin. And the Lord winds up saving him. I remember in particular, years ago, I was meeting with a young lady and her mother. She must have been 15, 15, and she was really an honest young lady in a sense of just being forthright in all sessions. And her life was filled with about, you know, four or five or six of these things. And as we wrote it on the wall, you know, and I said, I just turned around. I said, what do you think about this? And she said, this is awful. And I said, what do you think God thinks about this? And she just looked at me. She said, I'm not really sure. And as we opened the scriptures and we prayed, the Lord showed her need for Christ, that she was broken over her sin. The reason why I bring this up this morning, the reason why I want to expose you to this, is because I'll text today, as we're going through, I'll text today, it's about the parable of the sower. And really, it's not about the sower, it's about the Saul in one sense. You see, each and every Saul in this story represents humankind. It represents mankind and its heart. And the question we want to ask this morning is what is your heart like? What is the fruit of your life? What does the fruit of your life reveal about the Saul, about your heart? So this morning, as we get into our text, we're going to be looking at the responses of the soul, the responses of the heart. And I just want you to prayerfully consider your life before the Lord and prayerfully consider your life and your action about what type of life are you living before the Lord? What kind of fruit is being produced in your life? So let's pray before we get into the text. Father, we thank you for your holy and precious word. Lord, we know that the scripture says those who practice this lifestyle we have up on the screen will not inherit the kingdom of God. They're not lost because they do these things. They do these things because they're lost. And Lord, my prayer this morning is if that there is one soul here today, Lord, who doesn't know Jesus, who their lifestyle represents what's up on that screen, that Lord, you would pierce them this morning. And that they would be saved by your grace. But Lord, this is not just about salvation. This is about sanctification. This is about us living a life that is pleasing to you. And Father, I pray for my brothers and sisters who know you as Lord and Savior of their lives, but that they're struggling maybe in the area of a self-focus, or they're struggling in the area of anger, or they're struggling in sexual sins. Lord, I pray that today that you would pierce our hearts, that you would penetrate us. And Lord, that we, by your grace, would be able to turn from this sin and to turn to the healing power of the cross. Lord, not only the healing of saving us from our sin, but the healing of setting us free from our sin. And Father, that's my prayer this morning for us as a congregation, that we would walk in a way that is worthy of the gospel, the shed blood of Jesus. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So as we come to our stories this morning in Luke, and I want to encourage you to keep your Bibles open because we're going to be looking at the different verses as we come along. But what we see first off, in verse 4, Jesus starts to tell this story of the sower. And obviously the seed that he's talking about is the Word of God. So the picture here is that the sower is going out with the Word of God and he's sowing it out. And these are the responses. So the response one we see here is found the sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell beside the road and it was trampled underfoot. And the birds of the air ate it up. Now, the parable is this, verse 11. The seed is the word of God. Those beside the road are those who have heard. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they will not believe and be saved. Matthew 13:9 says it this way. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches it away. You see, when you start to think through this and you think about this person, this is the person that hears the gospel but has no heart for it. This is the person that hears the word preached but they reject it at the very moment that they hear. And Satan comes along and snatches whatever seed has been brought there by the word of God. You know, every commentary I've read on this section and this particular verse agrees that this person is lost. And they show it because they hear the word, they don't understand it, they don't believe it, Satan snatches away, and they will not be saved. So I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this response. The idea here is obviously this Saul didn't respond at all to the gospel. In response two, we see in verse 6, other fell on rocky soil. As soon as it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture. Now, we need to talk about, just to get the history and understanding of this land that we're talking about. But see, what would happen is that the land, right underneath the land, in certain places, there would be a lying rock right underneath it for a long stretch. It'd be very similar. Sometimes we have it here, you know, where it's hard dirt. I was listening to someone talk about they were trying to dig some holes the other day, and they had to run water on it for like a half hour to an hour just to get it a little soft, just to be able to break it. Well, the picture here is that the seed would go in very, very quick, but it would hit that rock and shoot right back up. And what would happen is the sun would come out, and there was no moisture, and it would just die immediately. That's the picture that you have of this person. Matter of fact, Jesus says it this way in verse 13. Those on the rocky soil are those who, when they hear, they receive the word with joy, and these have no firm root. They believe for a while, and in time of temptation fall away. Matthew 13 records it this way. Yet he has no firm root in himself, but is only temporary. And when affliction or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he falls away. It's not that they lose their salvation. What happens is they never had their salvation. It's an emotional response. It's in a large crowd, and maybe they see thousands of people going forward, or maybe they're convicted about their sin in a sense, but they're not ready for Jesus. It's like the other day at the Good News Club. I had a sweet little girl come to me, and she said, Brother Johnny, I got caught today. And I said, you got caught doing what, sweetie? She said, well, I cheated on my test, and I got caught. I said, that makes you feel bad? She said, oh, yeah, it makes me feel bad. I really feel bad when I'm going to get home tonight. I said, I think you will, too. I said, let me ask you something. You ever thought of yourself as a great sinner? She said, oh, no, I'm not a great sinner. Well, see, friends, I could have got her to pray a prayer. Let me tell you something. She's ready to pray a prayer. But she didn't understand. See, she feels bad because of the worldly response. She's going to get the paddle on the backside when she got home. But her heart was not ready to change. She did not want to change. She did not understand her affliction. And you see, this person that's in this rocky soil, they look like they're good, but they shoot up real quick and they're gone. Sometimes, you know, in a Baptist church, you'll have people join the church. You know, they'll come one time and they'll join the church, and then you don't see them again. I mean, we got all kind of folks on our rolls from those type of things. Now, we don't have that at this church, you know, but at most Baptist churches, that's what happens. You know, folks, they come one time, they hear the preacher preach, they like the church, everybody's nice to them, they get up, they come down the aisle, they join the church, and then they're not seen again. There are others who join the church, and after a month or two, they're gone. And they're just gone. And see, this is the picture of the person, in a sense, who is in this rocky soil. The New American Commentary says it like this. He says, when they come up underneath the trials, you can tell the trials of God. Because the trials of God is not to make you fall away. It's to help you persevere, to help make you stronger. But when Satan comes along, he casts out these trials, and his purpose is to cause one to fall away. You know, I want to encourage you as you think through this. This person has no deep conviction of sin, but a shallow emotional response. And this person is lost. This person, you know, as you think about folks, and I've seen this happen in the counseling room where someone gets saved because they want to get married to a Christian person. And the Christian person has told them, look, I can't marry you because you're not a Christian. Well, you know, I'm willing to get saved. I remember one time some years back, I was with a man and we were doing some ministry and we're doing work in the Hispanic work, and he had asked me to come sit in with him. And he said, Brother Johnny, I want you to sit in with me during marriage counseling. I said, okay. Well, I got in there. These folks wasn't married. They were wanting to get married. And the preacher just looked him in the eye and he said, well, she's a Christian and you're not. If you want to marry, you're going to have to become a Christian. And he said, okay, I'll be a Christian. And he said, okay, pray this prayer. Brother Johnny, you want to lead him in this prayer? I said, no, that's all right. I'm here to watch. Let me tell you something. There's something wrong with that. But see, that's what happens. That's what this person does. They make a bargain with God. Look, I'll become a Christian if you get me out of the problem I'm in, Lord. You know, or Lord, I'll become a Christian if you give me a good job. Or I'll become a Christian to get married. Or I'll become a Christian because I'm trying to escape the consequences of my sin. See, that's not Christianity. That's making a deal with God. That's the rocky soil. It doesn't last long. It goes really quick. And there's no fruit. And this person is lost. And then we move into the third response. Response 3. Verse 7. Other seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it out. You know, as we see some of the other translations, they say the weedy saw. Now, this is what we have to understand that's really was interesting to me. And as I started to study this text once again to preach it, but the saw at that time in that place, it would look rich and it would look good and it would look cultivated. And that's what they had these sections from. So what they would do is they would drop in the seed, whatever seed they had, and as soon as that seed started to germinate, what would happen is that there was a fibrous, weedy seed roots down below that you didn't see. And what it would do is it would gravitate over to the good seed. And then it would come alongside the good seed and it would choke the life out of it. And then it would shoot straight up, and when it broke the ground, it would receive the moisture and all that, and then the weed would grow. See, that's the picture here of this saw. This person, Jesus says in verse 14, he says, the seed which fell among the thorns, these are the ones who have heard, and as they go on their way, they are choked with worries and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to maturity. You see, this person, they hear the word of God, but what happens is, instead of it really taking root and bringing the fruit, what happens is the worries, the anxieties of this life, the concerns about this life takes their heart away from the seed, takes their heart away from God. And they start to worry. They start to worry about these things. They start to lust for the riches of this life. They're sidetracked by wealth and materialism. You see, these type of folks, as they see here, not only are they worrying, not only are they after the wealth of this and materialism, but they're also after the pleasures. And the word here used for pleasure in the Greek is where we get our English word hedonism from. You see, it's about a self-focus of physical pleasure. So you got this amusement of the world. You got the wealth of the world and the riches of the world. You got the cares of the world. And all these things takes away from their heart, takes away from the seed, the word of God in that soil, and it chokes the very good seed dead. You see, a lot of folks get this mixed up. They look at this and they say, hey, this person's saved. They're just not very fruitful. No, they bring no fruit. None to life. And the word choke there is clearly, when you go and study in an original language, it means death. It's choked it. It's suffocated. It's dead. The good seed is dead. Why is it dead? Because the weed choked the life out of it. It's kind of like in another passage of Scripture where Jesus talks about the wheat and the tare. He says they grow together. Don't separate them. Why? Because you're going to damage the tare. But the reality is the tare doesn't even get out the ground in this soil. It's choked to death below. Brother Johnny, years ago, some of you may be like, Brother Johnny, you just didn't know the Bible very well. I remember back in 1993 having this conversation with my pastor, Dr. Paul Dean. He wasn't a doctor back then. He was in school. And I remember having this conversation about this passage of Scripture. And I remember me telling him, Brother Paul, you know, I'm kind of like in this third Saul. You know, I just haven't been real fruitful. I hadn't led anybody to Christ. I hadn't grown like I wanted to do. And you know what he told me? He said, Brother Johnny, if you're in that seed, you're lost. He said, I want you to read this book. And he gave me this book called The Gospel According to Jesus by John MacArthur. Radically changed my life. Because for the first time, someone was honest with me. They were honest with me to tell me that if that's my life, at the end of this life, when I die, I'm going to perish. And you know, I struggle a lot of times. And I'm just telling you my heart. I'm just being honest with you. I struggle. Was I saved when I was 16? Was I saved when I was 30? From 16 to 30, I tried to walk with the Lord, but I just didn't know how. I stumbled. I fell. I wasn't in the Word. You know, when I did go to church, you know, the Word was not the preeminence there in the churches I went to. You know, and I went through and I struggled, caused my poor wife a miserable life for all those years we were together. You know, the Lord knows my heart. Lord, I know I'm saved by the grace of God. I see the fruit, not the fruit I've done, but the fruit that God's done in my life. So I know I'm saved. But I have to be honest with you. I think there are a lot of folks just like I used to be. And they're going through the motions thinking they're saved. But the reality is there's no fruit in their lives. And if there's no fruit in your lives, you have no assurance in the next life. Because if you die in this life, and that's what your life looks like, my friend, you're going to perish. And you might have been a good church member. And you might have played for the softball team. And the t-shirt's going to burn off your back when you head into hell. And I don't say that loosely because it grieves my heart. Listen, I have shed tears. Others have shed tears over the souls of men and women. But listen, you got to know. You got to be honest with yourself. You got to say, what does my life really look like? Does my life look like any of this Saul that we've looked about? The scriptures are full of people like that. Demas. You know, he walked with Paul. He was on mission with Paul. But then he left Paul at the end. Why? Because he loved the world more than he loved Paul. Judas was with Jesus 3 years. But at the end of the time, he sold the Lord for 30 shekels of silver. 1 John says, they went out from us because they were not of us. 1 Corinthians, Paul says that there's got to be problems in the church. Why? Because God's people got to be approved. Because there are many that are going to fall away. Friends, I want you to know something. God in His mercy, God in His grace has brought us to this place. God brings a man to this place. You know, it's interesting, Marvin, you don't mind me sharing with you. Walk through the door. Marvin's a friend of mine. Yesterday I saw Marvin at a place where I was speaking. I think it was 10 years ago. I had met Marvin at a church. His son was a good friend of mine. And he became a church member. And just to be honest with you, Marvin was kind of a wealthy man at that time. He was one of the biggest tithers in the church. And I remember one day, you know, I thought he was a little rough, you know, but he's an old truck driver, you know, selling insurance truck driver people. He was rough. And I just said, well, you know, Marvin's rough. And that's the way Marvin is. And then one day we were in a council room talking, and I brought out that tree that I showed you. And I did that with Marvin. Marvin's tree was filled up on this side. And I never forget a statement he made to me. He said, if the Lord is going to send me to hell for looking at a woman at the beach, then I guess I'll be heading to hell. And with tears, I looked at Marvin. I said, Marvin, Brother Johnny loves you. He's much older than me. I have a lot of respect for older people. But with tears, I said, Marvin, you're going to go to hell if you die today. Well, you know what Marvin did? He got mad. And he left. And he left the church. And there were some people sore at me because Marvin left the church because Brother Johnny told me he was going to hell. But 5 years later, the Lord saved Marvin. And he came back to me and said, Brother Johnny, he said, I had all kind of pastors all my life, but no one ever told me that I was going to hell. Thank you for loving me enough. Thank you that God used you in my life. You see, we got to be honest. We got to be honest because eternity is at stake. What is the response of your heart? And then we look at the good response. Verse 8. Other seed fell into the good soil and grew up and produced a crop of 100 times as great. This soil was good. It was ready. The weed roots were not in it. Everything was ready. The word of God, as we see in verse 15, the seed in the good soil, these are the ones who have heard the word in an honest and good heart. Not a perfect heart, but a good and honest heart. They're serious about hearing it. They hold it fast, and they bear fruit with perseverance. Jesus says this person will give 30, 60, 100 fruit. You see, the fruit comes from the Lord. It's not what we do. It's what God does. But God uses us, and He allows us to be part of the ministry. And as we give ourselves to the Lord, as we commit ourselves to the Lord, as we throw our lives on the Lord. And listen, there is a difference. You do play a part in a sense of not how much fruit you have, but how much you're available to God. And you see, the key phrase here is at the end of it where it says in verse 15, bear fruit with perseverance. You see, the reality is Christians are going to have fruit, some more than others, by the way that they conduct themselves and at the way they make a commitment to the Lord and the way that they spend time in the Word. Their fruit's going to be more than others. But listen to me, all Christians bear fruit. The seed in the ground is going to produce fruit on the tree. And if your heart has been filled with the glory of Christ, you will persevere. You will endure. You will strengthen. And you will, through suffering, bring forth fruit that is pleasing to God. So what does fruit look like? Galatians 5:22 says this, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. That's what the Spirit, the seed of the Spirit, looks like. It says in Ephesians 5:8, that the fruit of the light consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth. You see, that's what God does to a person's life. You know, we had a young lady at a small group meeting the other night, and she was talking about how for her lifespan, 18 years, she had been walking. She was religious. She was in a religious church. She went to church, but she was not saved. And one day, by God's grace, as she was confronted about her sin, she turned her life. By God's grace, she turned and followed Jesus. Friends, I want you to know she has real joy now. And there is fruit being produced in her life. And I asked her one day, I said, have you noticed much difference? She said, oh, there's a world of difference in my life. She said, my life has been changed by God. I don't even think the way I used to think. I don't even act the way I used to act. I'm not like I want to be. I'm not perfect. But purposely, I'm growing in grace. Purposely, I'm changing by the power of God. And there's joy. You see, there's joy when a life's been changed by God. There's joy when you, as a believer, are walking in the Lord. There's assurance in your heart that you know that you're right with God. And that if the Lord takes you out today, you can lay your head on the pillow with rest and know that you're going to be with Jesus if your eyes close and you never awaken. Friends, that's what God wants for us. The fruit of the Spirit in our lives. Let me ask you something this morning. What is the fruit of your life? What is the fruit of your life? Not your wife, not your husband, not your children, not the other folks in this house. What is the fruit of your life? What does the inventory of your life say about you? Does it scream self, or does it scream the Spirit? you're here this morning and your heart is beating and you know that you're not right with the Lord, you've come to a conclusion, you've looked at the charts, you've looked at the fruit of your life, and that's what it looks like. I'm going to ask you in a few moments as we pray, I'm going to ask you to do what's the wise thing, call upon the Lord. As the service ends, we're going to have elders by the back door. I just want to encourage you, if you're here today and your life is not right with the Lord and you know it, go see one of the elders. Don't put it off. Don't be foolish. Walk out of the door expecting you got next week to come back and you perish and spend eternity separated from God. Know that you're right with God. Maybe you're a believer here this morning. And the reality is, as you've been looking at this list, there's a couple of things that are not right. Maybe you got an anger problem. Maybe you've stumbled into sin and a sexual error. Maybe you got loose lips. Listen, whatever it is that God has burdened you with this morning, go to the Lord. He is able. It's what Jesus died for, to save us from our sin, but to set us free from our sin. Jesus says, for all who look upon me, I will save. And for all believers who look upon the cross, the Lord says, I'll set you free. Come to me. Come in humility, ask Him for forgiveness, and I, the Lord says, will clean your heart. Will you humble yourself today before the Lord? Let's pray.